Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but to welcome to the programme four talented, humorous, witty, clever exponents of this game, who are going to display their talent with words and language as they talk on a subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are, seated on my left, Giles Brandreth and Tony Hawkes, and seated on my right, Paul Merton and Julian Clary. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score, and she'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we're going to begin the show this week with Tony Hawkes. Tony, the first signs of summer. Talk on the subject, Tony. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
One of the first signs of summer I always notice is please keep off the grass. And it seems very mean-spirited indeed. Surely this lovely green substance is there for us to enjoy, to frolic upon. There were first signs of summer today. Nobody could doubt it. On the streets of London, people were baring their disgusting chests for us all to watch. And some people are burnt to a frazzle.
Julian, challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, there's too many people there. Yes.
Ooh.
And you have a correct challenge, therefore a point for that, and there are 22 seconds available. The first signs of summer starting now.
The first signs of summer is when I go down to the woods listening for the nightingale. I unbutton the top three holes in my shirt, cock an ear, and there it is. Gently...
Paul, you challenge.
Sadly, a slight hesitation.
Yes, slightly, yes. Mm. Yes. You were really ribbing him there. You were reacting to him. I mean, our listeners couldn't see it, but it was correct. He did hesitate. So, Paul, you have 10 seconds. The first signs of summer, Paul, starting now.
The first signs of summer is when you stretch out your hands underneath the table and see what you find underneath. Oh, my goodness me, it's an incontinent duck.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
This can't have anything possibly to do with summer. If he had set the scene in a tent on a camping expedition, maybe. What he is describing is obviously a winter activity. Table is involved, under it, I'm sorry, deviation in everything.
I don't know.
Have you never been on the heat in the first signs of summer?
This was not the first sign of summer.
I don't know. I've seen people do all kinds of things when the first sign of summer comes on.
He's frisky.
They get frisky.
Summer. You know, summer. He's made him very, very frisky.
I thought you were going to have him for repetition, but it's too late now.
Deviation is what I'm challenging him on.
I know, and it's wrong.
What?
So, Paul, another point to you. 4 seconds.
Funny summer you're having, that's all I'm saying. Funny summer you're having.
No, I'm always fair. If I can give you the benefit of the doubt later on, you'll find I will do that. And, 4 seconds, Paul, starting now.
The first signs of summer. Take off your trousers.
So, in this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton, and he's naturally in the lead at the end of the round. Giles, we'd like you to start the next round. Would you tell us something about the perfect marriage in this game, starting now?
My wife is indeed perfection. She has the beauty that would ensure her place in Mr. Berlusconi's next administration. The intelligence that would place her on the front bench of the Liberal Democrat Party, and the technical skills that would rival those of Isambard Kingdom Brunel. And yet our marriage is not perfect because I am part of it. I drag the whole thing down. From perfection, we turn to something
challenged.
Well, I want him to talk about the perfect marriage, not the imperfect marriage.
Oh, you can't know what is perfect until you've tasted imperfection.
Well, I haven't got long enough. It's the same point as before.
No, Giles, I think in this game you have to make your points pretty rapidly, otherwise you've lost it just. And so, Tony, you have a correct challenge, and you have 34 seconds. He was talking about the imperfect marriage. And in this game, we're talking about the perfect marriage. So Tony has the benefit of the doubt.
It doesn't matter to me because I go back to the love of a good woman.
Yeah. Tony, 34 seconds. The perfect marriage starting now.
Several weeks ago, we enjoyed watching the perfect marriage of Prince Harry or whatever his name is.
Paul Challenge.
Well, deviation from the historical record. We haven't seen Prince Harry a few weeks ago get married.
No, we haven't.
Right, we didn't enjoy it.
Well, when's this show going out? Yeah. When's this show going out?
Well, it's Prince William that's getting married, not Prince Harry. So I don't know, what do you want, a 5-year moratorium on this or something?
That shows how much interest I showed in it. Prince, I thought it was Prince Harry that was getting married.
Well, it's Prince. I mean, William. I might be wrong, but there seems to be a lot of tea towels out there saying something different.
Have I blown my chance of a knighthood now? Do you think?
I don't think you had much chance in the first place. Paul.
Yes.
Correct challenge. 29 seconds. The perfect marriage starting now.
When we think back to that gorgeous day, Prince William surprised everybody by getting married to Christopher Biggins. Who at the very last moment came running up the aisle saying, "Take me, give us a chance, I'm as good as any woman." And it proved to be that he was. The two of them became beekeepers in rural Sussex and produced royal jam every year and honey, which was considered the finest that delicatessens could buy. I still remember holding a label in my hand in the year 2017.
Well, it was lovely stuff, Paul, but it got nothing to do with the perfect marriage, as far as I was concerned. But, in a fantasy world, maybe it was, I don't know. But you were speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. You've increased your lead. You're two ahead of Tony Hawkes and Julian Clary and then Giles Brandreth. And, Paul, we'd like you to begin the next round. The reasons not to go on holiday. 60 seconds starting now.
The reasons not to go on holiday, I suppose, are quite a few. If you have a loving family and a beautiful house and you enjoy spending time in each other's company, then you could perhaps say to yourself, we won't go abroad this year, we will stay around the home.
Charles.
Hesitation.
I call that hesitation, yes.
More of an extended word.
Yeah.
But it went on a long time.
45 seconds, Giles. The reasons not to go on holiday, starting now.
Who wants to do anything twice? I've already been on holiday. If you like it, well...
Julian Challenge.
Well, I'd call that hesitation. No. He sort of swallowed the word.
No, I don't think so, no. Giles, you still have the subject, and you have 37 seconds. Reasons not to go on holiday starting now.
The holiday that I did take was in North Wales. I arrived in August in the hailstones.
Well, it's a deviation. He's still out going on holiday, and the subject is the reason not to go on holiday.
Yes, I'm about to explain. I'm about to explain.
See, I haven't got long
Wales,
enough.
See?
I'm about to explain.
He's gone to Wales on holiday. Awfully sorry.
I actually had mentioned the hailstones, and that I think in August in North Wales, hailstones is a reason not to go on holiday.
Yes.
My feeling.
I've said I would give you the benefit of the doubt if the occasion arose, and it has arisen.
Thank you.
And so you have it, because you didn't give enough chance to carry on and say why you were in North Wales. And 33 seconds still with you, Giles, starting now.
The real horror is the other people who go on holiday with you. There you are in Llandudno getting the pick of the shelters and all these people wearing kiss-me-quick hats.
Paul Challenge.
Two peoples. We have people and
yes,
people.
Yes, all these
repetition.
People.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, listen, Paul.
In the middle of your class hatred, you said it twice.
23 seconds are still available, Paul. Reasons not to go on holiday, starting now.
I would not like to go on holiday unless I were with people. I were with...
I were Tony with. Tanners.
Hesitation.
No, it was repetition. But not hesitation. I kept going, that was the trouble.
Tony, 14 seconds, the reasons not to go on holiday, starting now.
I suppose one of the main reasons people don't go on holiday is because they don't have enough money.
Paul Challenge.
Well, it was a quick two don'ts quite quickly, one after the other.
Yes. Yes. Don't.
Somebody woken up and said their disappointment this isn't Brain of Britain.
Correct challenge, Paul. 9 seconds. Reasons not to go on holiday, starting now.
Other people have been...
Julian Challenge.
You said people
I
earlier.
I haven't said people.
I thought you had.
No, everybody else has.
I thought you did say people.
Yes, it's funny, though, isn't it?
7 seconds, Paul. Reasons not to go on holiday, starting now.
One year, I decided that the best thing for me to do was to go to Butlin's holiday camp and avoid every single...
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle when gained that extra point and has moved forward into a strong lead. And Tony Hawkes, we'd like you to begin the next round. The subject is dividing household chores. 60 seconds, starting now.
My girlfriend isn't in the audience this evening, so I can say I am a master of dividing household chores, although she would say cleaning is not my forte. I think that something has been cleaned sufficiently, and she comes down and looks at it and says, it's a disgrace. What were you thinking of, Hawks? That's what she calls me. We're very affectionate, but that's enough detail. Now, dividing chores should be done by a panel of men who sit down and say, that's good enough for me, well done, go through into the other room and relax in the chair, watch football, do whatever you like, really. I'm not confident of carrying on much longer, but let's...
Drives your challenge.
Yes, hesitation on behalf of the Relate organisation.
Well, it was hesitation, right. 22 seconds, Giles. Dividing household chores starting now.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, my wife does the ground floor and the kitchen. What a scrubber. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, she does upstairs. This is how we divide the chores. MWF and double TS is the code for this. The arrangement is totally satisfactory. Introduced to me by my good friend...
So Giles Brand is speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. He's moved forward. He's just in second place behind Paul Merton, and then the other two follow. And Julian, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, a good laugh. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
There's nothing quite as therapeutic as a good laugh. It waves around the diaphragm and puts a smile on your face, and you feel cheery for the rest of the week. A good laugh is essential, I think, for everyone's well-being. Listening to Just a Minute can induce this very thing of which we talk. Or you might turn on the television and see Sean Phillips on Breakfast Time. Well, what an elegant woman, and she makes me laugh. She sits there with her legs crossed, and I am howling. So is my friend...
Paul Shannon.
Do you mean Sean Phillips, the actress who was married to Peter O'Toole, or do you mean Sean Lloyd, the weather girl?
I mean Sean Phillips. I've got satellite. It's from a different channel that you're probably not familiar with.
She's a well-respected classical actress.
She used to be.
Yes. She now does daytime TV, does she, as a presenter? Deviation's got the wrong Sean. Mm. You know the difference, don't you?
Yes, I do know the difference, yes, just... Paul, correct challenge. A good laugh is with you. 25 seconds starting now.
A Max Miller joke. I came home the other night. I said to the wife, I hear the milkman has made love to every woman in this street bar one. She said, I bet it's that stuck-up cow at number 54. This was a story that was first
Julian
heard in the
challenge.
19...
Julian's challenge.
Well, it's other people's material you're doing.
If it had a good laugh in it, unlike some of the other contributions to the subject.
Julian, it's correct. I mean, he got a good laugh. A piece of material from another comedian, he got a good laugh.
I quoted who it was from.
Yes, right.
Yeah, didn't try to pass it off as my own.
What's that supposed to mean? Outside.
For a minute, I thought you were angry with me.
The affection and the aggro, which goes hand in hand on this show, is absolutely delightful. Right, 14 seconds with you, Paul, on a good laugh, starting now.
Laurel and Hardy stand...
June and Channels.
Oh, anything but that.
why, Julian?
Oh, I'm tired of it.
Julian?
Buster Keaton, maybe. Oh, I've got a stepladder.
Are you
mocking
your friend because he's not... Are you mocking your friend because he's an authority on these comedians of that generation?
Authority? Is that the word we're using?
Anyway, Julian.
God forbid I should have a one-track mind when it came to jokes, Julian. I really wouldn't know where I would be.
Julian. You've got a good laugh with what you said, so we give you a bonus point for that.
Thank you.
But he wasn't deviating in any way, so, Paul, you carry on with a good laugh, 12 seconds, starting now.
Oscar Wilde once said to George Bernard Shaw, the very essence of a good laugh is when you have one man bending over to tie up his shoes while another kisses him on both cheeks. And, you know...
Right. So, Paul Merton was speaking whistle as the whistle went again, and he has increased his lead at the end of the round. And, Paul, it's back with you to begin. The subject now is shift work. Can you tell us something about shift work in this game, starting now?
I remember my dad doing shift work when he was working on London Underground. He would leave the house probably about 7:30 in the evening. You'd see him again around about 8:15 the following.
Right, June in challenge.
Repetition of past.
Quarter past.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Right. So, Julian, you're in there with 49 seconds on shift work, starting now.
When I worked for the Metropolitan Police, I had to do shift work. Night duty was my favourite. I would pop my truncheon over my back, shine up my helmet, and off I went with a little Tupperware...
Jazz sounds.
You can't shine up a helmet.
Oh, don't get me started on that one.
I'm just speaking on behalf of the core Radio 4 audience, you know. People who still like going to Ambridge and still feel the world, you know, was perhaps better when Gilbert Harding was running it.
Giles, whether you can or not, I'm sure that Julian managed to achieve that.
Ah, very good.
So, Julian, you have an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject, another point, 36 seconds, shift work starting now.
Sometimes it'll be very, very quiet in there.
Tony...
Oh. Sorry, Julian.
You're being very, very...
repetition.
33 seconds, Tony. Shift work starting now.
I always like to shift work to the bottom of the agenda, enjoying leisure as I do, and it's difficult to believe that this is work for me.
Right. Giles, challenge.
Hesitation. Gradual hesitation.
No. I think you thought you repeated the word work, but it's on the card. And you've
you are a mind reader. Yes. That's why you are here.
Yes, sir. Tony, correct challenge. 22 seconds, shift work, starting now.
I'm lucky to be on the early evening shift of Just a Minute because there will be a 2 a.m. recording featuring...
A Jazz challenge.
Now came the hesitation.
Yes, because I don't know about a 2 a.m. recording.
No, there's no 2 a.m. No. No. Oh, is that
the
time?
The only thing I'd say, though, for hesitation, surely you have to hesitate.
Yes.
Did I hesitate?
Yes.
He didn't hesitate, but you...
Deviate,
but you didn't have him for deviation.
Oh, didn't I?
You had him for...
That's what Paul picked up.
Yeah. But that was too late then. It was too late then, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know about that. So, whatever you say...
You still have the subject, Tony.
Thank you.
And you have 14 seconds. Shift work starting now.
I used to work in a carpet factory and we did shifts, lifting the edges of these little tapestries off the floor for people to view. It was extraordinarily tedious and yet we found joy in it because we were...
Paul challenge.
There was three wee's all in one sentence
yes.
there.
Two.
I needed a wee-wee.
Let one go, but you've got him with 1 second to go, Paul. And shift work is with you starting now.
When I say work, I shift.
Paul Merton once again is speaking of the whistle when gained that extra point has increased his lead, and the other three are trailing him, but they're very, very close in second, third, and fourth place. Tony Hawkes, it's your turn to begin. We'd like to take this interesting subject now. My favourite made-up word. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I've never been terribly keen on the word guesstimate. However, blog is a made-up word. I suppose it's come into our parlance in the last 10 years or so, and it has a little ring to it which is pleasing to the ear, not necessarily relevant to the subject matter and diet.
Giles' challenge.
By his own acknowledgement, not as necessarily relevant to the subject matter, which I think suggests deviation from the subject matter. I'm only picking up the lead given to us by T on my left hand.
You're right. It is relevant because the subject, it may be a made-up word, but it is relevant to the subject.
All words are made up. all words are made up.
I know. Because sometimes people didn't have words. They had drums, right. Didn't they?
Do you remember that time before language when you just...
No.
When you just had to point at things.
I know.
And draw them on the cave wall. Do you remember that?
Oh, that's right.
You were one of the first proponents of fire. You were very keen on fire, weren't you? Oh, evolution of man, fire 1 minute, next minute, very lovely jackets. It all happened in space. About 2 years, didn't it?
An incorrect challenge on your part.
Thank you.
Because it was relevant to blog. So my favourite made-up word, Tony, 40 seconds starting now.
As Paul pointed out in that delightful intermission from this wonderful speech, all words are made up. Glove. What a good word that is. Very handy for rhyming with love if you're a songwriter, and people have done that over the ages, and with great efficiency. Just think of Irvin Berlin, Cole Porter, to name but two.
Paul Challenge.
Which Cole Porter song rhymes love with glove?
I don't want to go through the catalogue now.
OK, Irvin Berlin then, perhaps.
It doesn't really matter, because you can rhyme love with glove.
Yes, but did either of those two?
I don't know whether they did or
not. I think they did. I think that
Tony says yes on the basis that nobody else knows.
Well, how many songs... Does anyone know how many songs Irvin Berlin wrote?
Yes,
they go into the thousands.
Yes. Absolutely, and I bet he did on one occasion do that. So you'll have the benefit of the doubt, and you have... And you have 17 seconds, my favourite made-up word, Tony, starting now.
Eeky beaky isn't a word, but I've made it up, and it's now my new favourite. Eeky beaky... Oh, I can't...
Well, it's your favourite, you shouldn't repeat it so quickly.
No.
So, Giles, you, who challenged? Oh, Julian challenged. No, Julian challenged.
Oh, yes, well, repetition of eeky beaky.
And you have... Julian, 10 seconds, starting now.
If you watch Laurel and Hardy films very, very closely...
Tony challenged.
Repetition of very...
It was Tony who challenged.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I
see it's been unplugged. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
7 seconds with you, Tony. My favourite made-up word, starting now.
Thrust. Imagine that if you stood on the...
Paul challenged.
Well, deviation, he didn't say eeky-beaky, and he established that was his favourite word.
Yes.
So, deviation for not saying eeky beaky.
Oh, I can't say eeky beaky again. I've got myself in a hideous trap.
You've created this paradox for yourself. You can't repeat your favourite word.
I'm going to after the show, though, over and over again.
But he can talk about my favourite made-up word and go round the corner to it and not actually use the word again. So, a benefit of the doubt to you, Tony, my favourite made-up word, 3 seconds starting now.
We can all stand in silence listening to the oratory.
Ooh. So Tony Hawk presents speaking with the whistle end. Gained that extra point, and with others in the round, has moved forward rapidly. He's only 1 point behind Paul Merton, who's still in the lead, and the other two are equal in third place, a few points behind. I've just heard we've no more time. We're going to move into the final round.
Oh,
you are lovely. I'll give you the situation as we do. Julian is trailing just a little. He's behind Giles, who's got quite a few points, but he's 3 or 4 behind Tony Hawkes, who is 1 behind Paul Merton, as we go into the final round. And Giles, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is worms. Tell us something about worms in this game, starting now.
Worms are the most beautiful of God's creatures because they give us silk. And thanks to worms, we have diaphanous items of clothing with which we can dress our beautiful women who one day will be turned into worms.
Paul Charles.
Well, you're placing women far beneath worms, as you've described worms as the most beautiful creation of God. And then you sort of describe the silk being put onto beautiful women. But I think it's deviation. I don't think worms are the most beautiful. He's looking at me like I'm wrong. Am I?
Yeah, because I think I got the impression that Giles was saying they do a most amazing job.
Yes.
And they create these beautiful things which women wear.
Yes.
Not that they were the beautiful creatures.
No. I got that bit wrong.
Yeah. So, Giles, another point to you.
See how he goes quietly, Giles.
Yeah. 39 seconds. Worms. Starting now.
Hesitation.
Giles, you're sitting there with your mouth open as if you were about to start.
The lack of courtesy that somebody should be gabbling away while you were trying to introduce the item is extraordinary to me.
There is a lot of lack of courtesy on this show. Oh. Look at the way they respect their show.
You wait till the 2 a.m. recording.
No, we don't have a lot of respect on this show, but we do have a lot of fun. Paul, 38 seconds on worms starting now.
My grandfather was a big exponent of worms. He used to say to me, the goodness of the soil depends on the worms.
Tony Challenge.
I want the benefit of the bloody doubt.
Why?
Because I got the correct challenge before, and you gave it to Paul.
I have little lights in front of me, which tells me which light comes on first. And it was Paul's light.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, well, I'm still begging for the benefit of the doubt.
Well, you may get it. There isn't much time left, is there? But, no, Paul, your light came on first, so you had the correct challenge. And 33 seconds, worms starting now.
It was told to me at school that if you cut the worm in half, both individual halves will come back together again. I've never been so spirited and meanful and mindful to go and...
Tony Chance.
Is there a sort of hesitation in there?
No.
I thought that was going to be a benefit of the doubt one, really, but there you go.
No, he was getting very close to it, but it wasn't there. Right. 22 seconds, Paul, still with you. Worms are starting now.
They are seen as a sign of the early bird catches the worm. It's an indication that if you get up early enough, beat your competitors.
Julian.
Repetition of early.
There are too many earlies there. Early bird catching the early worm.
Oh, right, I've written down early bird. It's worms, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. So, Julian, 15 seconds, tell us something about worms starting now.
I had worms once. I was ravenous. I had a huge baguette, and then I was still peckish. So I went down to the butcher's, and I said, look, you've got to feed me. And he said, come in the back room, and I had a sausage. Still, I was...
Yes.
He gagged at the prospect of that sausage. Hesitated.
I know, he was craving for a big payoff. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. And you got him with 1 second to go. On worms, starting now.
Martin Luther!
This was to be the final round. Let me give you the final score. Julian, who contributed so much, but didn't get as many points as the others. He was a few points behind Jars Brandreth, who was 1 point behind Tony Hawks, and he was 2 points behind Paul Merton. So, Paul, we say, you are the winner this week. Well, we do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Julian Cleary, and Giles Brandreth, and Tony Hawks. I thank Sarah Sharp, who's helped me with the score. She's blown the whistle beautifully when the 60 seconds have elapsed. We are grateful to our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. So from the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye, thank you, and tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
And you can join Nicholas Parsons at the same time next week when his guests will be Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Josie Lawrence and Jenny Eclair.